be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. These are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of the letter of the law shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You are the salt of the earth. Following the Beatitudes, this is the way that Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. I brought a salt shaker as my show and tell this morning. What did Jesus mean? You are the salt of the earth. Salt, of course, since ancient times, is an important additive to food to make it taste better. But sodium chloride, the chemical name, is also important in many other ways. In fact, salt is necessary for us to live. We would die without salt. We depend upon salt for the proper functioning of our bodies. Dr. Abraham could tell you what happens when someone doesn't have enough salt in their body. As a runner, when I sweat a lot, I need extra salt to keep properly hydrated. But too much salt is not good either. It puts us at risk for high blood pressure and heart disease and stroke and other health problems. All we need is about 1 teaspoon of salt daily, which for the most part is already in the foods we eat. We don't have to add. There's no reason to sit down at the table and before even taking a bite say, please pass the salt. When used thoughtfully, we don't really taste the salt, but the salt simply brings out the flavor. It's disappointing when you've cooked something and you forgot to add the salt. It's equally upsetting, or even more so, if you've added too much salt. They say you can leach out some of the salt by floating some raw potato slices on top of the oversalted soup. But I'm not a chef, so who knows? You are the salt of the earth. Notice that Jesus does not say to his disciples, you should become salt. By virtue of being his followers, they are salt. Now, this is an image that Jesus uses to illustrate a number of things about discipleship. So what does it mean? I've mentioned the necessity of salt for life and the good effect that salt has on the flavor of the food we eat. Of course, we get salt into our bodies, we have to put the salt into the soup or whatever we're cooking. It would be foolish to think that just having a container of salt next to the stove would make any difference. If you ask the cook, did you put in the salt? And the answer had better not be, no, but I have some right here by the stove. That's an absurd idea, and yet that seems to illustrate Jesus' concern about salt losing its saltiness. It's not used. I'm not sure how salt can actually lose its flavor. But in the Greek text, the word Jesus uses to describe salt losing its saltiness is moronos, from which we derive our English word moron or fool. Salt becomes foolish or useless as an ingredient when we don't put it into the soup. You might as well toss it out the window. Salt has a purpose, and if you don't use it for that purpose, well, it's foolish. The implication for Christian discipleship is that as salt, we need to get out of the salt shaker and into the world. It means that for us to do our savory gospel task of making the world a better, flavorable place, we need to be out there getting mixed in with people, in the culture, in the world. We notice that this teaching about salt immediately follows the Beatitudes, which we spoke about last Sunday. Jesus is saying that if you're going to display some of those grace-filled attitudes of mercy and meekness and purity, it's not enough to just stay inside the church. It's not enough just to nurture your own spirituality. You must get yourself out into the world so as to bring out life's goodness in others. In a sense, we are all already out in the world, in our work, in our school, in our play, in our entertainment, in our shopping. But how do we flavor the world with the gospel when we're out there? To be useful, salt needs to be mixed in, bringing out the flavor of the gospel in a bland world that needs some spicing up with good news and with hope and with joy. Salt left in the salt shaker doesn't add any zing to your morning eggs or to your French fries or to your popcorn. So also Christian disciples who never interact with people, who get mixed in, who don't associate with non-Christians, have no chance of reaching those people with the influence of God's love. I remember seeing a book on evangelism with the title, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. Now, when we think about all the different uses that salt has, we could come up with all kinds of analogies of how we are the salt of the earth. Salt is a purifier. It can be used to clean things. Christians can help clean up the world. There's a verse in Paul's letter to the Colossians where he writes, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. The meaning, I guess, is that your language ought to be clean. Salt also has healing qualities. My doctor recommends that I gargle with salt when I have a sore throat. Healing was an important part of Jesus' ministry, and he has called us to be healers of the body and the spirit. Salt also is a preservative. For a long time before refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food. As salty Christians, we help to preserve the good world that God has created. And how could we forget the use of salt to melt ice and snow? We use millions of tons of it to keep our sidewalks clear and our highways clear of ice and snow during the winter. As salty Christians, we help to melt the world's coldness and heart and cold-hearted ways and bring the warmth of Christian love to the world. Now, Jesus didn't say you are the pepper of the earth. Pepper has its own taste. It calls attention to itself. But salt, if properly used, simply brings out the flavor that's already there. It doesn't call attention to itself. We Christians aren't called to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God, who is already in the world. And Jesus does not say you are the sugar of the earth. Of course, that wouldn't have made much sense anyway in biblical times, because they didn't have sugar as we have it today. Perhaps they used honey or some other sweeteners. Even so, Jesus does not want us to sugarcoat the gospel, as it becomes so easy for us Christians, and perhaps maybe even especially for us Protestants, who put a great emphasis upon Christianity as a gospel of grace. God has done for us all that is necessary for our salvation, and our good works do not save us. But then, you know, we become rather lackadaisical about how we live and how we act. Sin is forgiven alone by God. It's not by our good works. And yet the scriptures, like those we have read today, show how much God cares about how we act. God didn't want Isaiah to be shy about calling the Israelites to account for their actions and their misdeeds. He says, shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell them like it is. He contrasts mere religious ritual with obeying the law, to treat their workers fairly, to free the oppressed, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless. And then also in the gospel reading, Jesus insists that he has no quarrel with the law. He came to fulfill it and to enhance it. So what do I mean when I suggest that we ought to be salty Christians? One of the dictionary definitions of salty is to be curious and witty and perhaps provocative. A salty Christian isn't afraid to get out of the salt shaker and into the mix of the real world, where people have different views and where there may be disagreements. But a salty Christian is committed to Christian values as well, to be strong, but also merciful. To stand up for what is right, but also to be a peacemaker and not pick fights. My personal opinion is that some people are way too salty and not enough Christian. Too much salt makes the salt the center of attention. It's distasteful. When we're too salty and lose the Christian part, we lose mercy and humility and a hunger for righteousness. And all those Christian values that Jesus lifts up in the Beatitudes and throughout his Sermon on the Mount. So let's try to be salty Christians. Let's get out of the salt shaker and into the world, and then let's do our savory gospel task of making the world a little bit more like the kingdom of heaven. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.